Would to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. If you give me just about 20 minutes tonight, we'll touch on a familiar subject. The title of the message for whoever's running the computer upstairs is The Failure of Familiarity. The Failure of Familiarity. I was speaking this week you ever look at your dad, and some of you maybe done this more than myself. My dad is 61 or 62 now. And just in the last couple of years, started to show his age a little bit, though I do think he probably still could take me from time to time, probably still whoop me. But, just looking at him, looking at his face, looking at the age spots on his hands, various things, and just thinking about my dad and what a wonderful, wonderful experience growing up and having my dad, and just how much I love that he's there for me to talk to. And generally every Sunday night we talk to each other after church, call one another, how did your day go, and he's just a great encouragement to me. I mentioned about my pawpaw this morning, and me and my pawpaw were very close, my dad's dad there on the farm, and very, very close, and it was always great to be able to call him and always have his wisdom and advice there for me, and just, you know, something I'm very familiar with, and something that is just sometimes taken for granted. My dad is here. Some of you have lost your parents and know what that feeling, you know, is like. There are other things we think about. I think about just here recently was looking at my hands and noticed the scar that's on one of my hands when I worked in the cabinet shop. I worked in the cabinet shop for years and made thousands of cuts, thousands and thousands of cuts. And I've seen many carpenters, you know, missing little ends of their fingers and all these type of things. And I was trying to be so careful. And I got to work in the radial arm saw one time and was just getting at it, you know, cutting. I probably had, you know, 100 or so things to cut, and a lot of them the same size. It's just a matter of making, and then, you know, cutting them and bringing your hand across and cutting and bringing your hand across. And I never forget that I nicked my finger, and I still got a good scar there from that radial arm saw. I'd gotten so familiar with that machine that I began to take it for granted, and how powerful and how it could really hurt you. I think about other things that we can become familiar with. I think about, you know, I love going to Colorado in the summer. We took the teenagers up to Silver State, there south of Denver, and you drive through, you know, Colorado Springs and Pueblo and all those places, and just how beautiful it is. But you talk to people up there, like one of the associate pastors up there in Englewood, you talk to them about it, and I mean, it's pretty to them, but it's familiar to them. You know, the Rocky Mountains to them isn't the splendor and as beautiful as it is to us who hardly ever get to see it, and because they have become familiar with it. And the same thing goes for things at church. Many times we can become, especially those of us who was raised in church like I was, we can become very easily become so familiar with the things of the Lord that we take them for granted. I remember in school and at Bible college, you know, one of the very first things our professor said to us, and we took a little thing called practicum, and Brother Rigsby and some of these other men that some of you know. And one of the things they always repeated to us, each professor pretty well had the same message, and maybe said it a little differently, but said, "Preachers, be careful. Be careful. There are three things you need to be careful about. Number one is females." Brother Stone will remember this outline. You need to be careful about females. A lot of preachers get in trouble, you know, because of the immorality and those type of things. They say, "Be careful. You don't counsel a lady alone." And boy, I certainly try not to do that. And when I counsel a lady, keep the door open. And some of you will notice that I've done that. I don't mean to offend anybody. I just want to be careful. Amen? And some of you can support me in that. And that's one of the things I enjoy having my wife as a secretary, because she is able to be here. Just even last week, the week before last, we had two ladies come in, of our ladies, but two ladies come in for counseling. And my wife was able to go right in there with me and counsel with me, you know, counsel with me during the day. That's a blessing, really is. Number two is finances. They always said, you know, be careful about the finances, your personal finances, the church's finances. Always have accountability. And I thank the Lord that we've had that. And but just be careful in these areas. The third one is familiarity. Familiarity. It's so easy for us and for a preacher especially who's around it all the time to become so familiar with it that we forget, and we lose the enormity of what God is really doing. And sometimes we take things for granted. I think for us, we have to be careful that God's blessed us so much here in the last 2 or 3 years. Sometimes we take for granted how He's done it. There are churches, literally, who haven't had 2 or 3 visitors the whole year. I've talked to them. I go to fellowships with them. When I tell them that we average, 10 or 15 families a week that visit. Now, not all of them are first time, but repeat customers. And I say, we have 10 or 15 visitors nearly every week, and what a blessing that is. And we just kind of get familiar with that. It becomes the norm. We think about this morning how many first-time visitors were here. And sometimes we can take that for granted. Not all churches, especially our stripes of conservative, traditional, independent Baptists as we are, that don't get that opportunity. But we've got to be careful that we don't become familiar and just thinking, again, that's just the norm. That is not the norm outside this church. That's not the norm of the independent Baptist church in the Metroplex. And God has tremendously blessed us. And don't let us ever forget that. And don't let us ever take it for granted of how good God's been to us. Man, He's been so good to us. In Mark chapter 9, this will be a familiar story to most of you. We hear of this child who was controlled by a spirit. Let's look there in verse 14. It says, "And when he had come to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him," I'm in Mark chapter 9, verse 15. "And straightway when all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Boy, there's a lot of sermons in here. Boy, I tell you what, we need to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help my unbelief." "And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out?" That's what I want to get to tonight. Why couldn't we cast him out? "And he said to them, This kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Help us again, Lord, with this subject of familiarity. Lord, help us to always be aware of just how great that you've been to us. Help us, Lord, to not take for granted your power and your strength in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand and know the miracles of Christ, as we've been studying on Sunday mornings this past summer, that the miracles of Christ verify His Messiahship. 100 years before Jesus ever came, the prophet spoke of the signs and wonders that the Messiah would perform. And so one of the evidences that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah was that He performed these many miracles. And what a miracle this was He performed on this child. And Jesus and His three of His disciples had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They'd just come from the mountaintop experience of seeing Elijah and Moses and seeing Jesus Christ transfigured, seeing Christ in His glory. They've seen Jesus for who He was. In fact, they said, "Let's build 3 tabernacles. Let's set the kingdom up now." Some of you remember the story. And here they are, just after this, just after the Mount of Transfiguration, just after the mountaintop experience, just after seeing the glory of God, just after seeing Elijah and Moses. I mean, how would that be? To see Elijah and Moses And they come down from this experience and they're approached by this man who has a child who's filled with a demon. And Lord, what would we do? And heal him and do it. But they couldn't do it. I just can't imagine what may have been running through their mind of, hey, we've done this 100 times. Why is it working now? They all kind of look at each other, these disciples say, why is it working now? Why can't we heal this young man? Why can't we heal him now? And then Jesus enters the scene. I'm glad Jesus enters the scene. And then when he comes, he changes the situation, doesn't he? That's our Savior. He does that in our own lives too. That's good. And he comes and he just says, you faithless bunch of people, you know. He really gets on them, doesn't he? And he says, hey, this, you know, the disciples ask him probably, why couldn't we do this? This only happens through prayer and fasting. I really believe, and by the way, this is not an expository message on this passage. We could spend a bunch of time in this passage. But I just want to point out to you just that verse. Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus saying, this only happens through prayer and fasting. I have no doubt the disciples had taken for granted the power that they had been given to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to do all these things. I have no doubt that when they were approached by this man, with this young man who was foaming at the mouth and wallowing and tearing himself and all these things, I have no doubt that they looked at each other and said, this is no problem, and, you know, you're healed. It didn't happen. Apparently, they thought so. I really believe tonight they felt that, why wasn't this happening? What was different about this? Again, they had performed many other miracles. Why wasn't this happening? Matthew talks about the unbelief or the lack of faith, and can I just tell you that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? We need that faith. But even more so, Mark speaks again of the familiarity or infers here the familiarity of what was going on. Why couldn't we do this? Can I tell you again that church things can become very familiar to us if we're not careful? We can take God's power for granted. As I said in the introduction, we can take for granted the blessings that we as a church have been receiving numerically and seeing the lost souls. We had by far the best summer seeing souls saved than we've had since we started. It was just amazing to see God work. We can take things for granted if we're not careful. It's sort of like, have you ever just experienced a great month with the Lord? Every once in a while I'll tell my wife, I did so recently. I said to her, man, I've had just a great month this month with the Lord and in my studies and in my devotional time. I just had a great month. One of the best months I've had since I started the ministry or since I've been an adult. That was just here recently. I told her that. And I tell you what, I really think we should be careful about saying that because when that happens, when you say something like that, man, the old devil just attacks, doesn't he? And we can take for granted that personal relationship with God and the closeness we feel. And when the devil attacks many times, we go to God and all of a sudden we see, you know what, God isn't, we know He's not very far from us, but we're not the ones that move. He's not the one that moves, we move. And sometimes we get away from Him not even thinking of it, taking Him for granted. Listen, have you ever gone and just gone to God in prayer and man, just the day before when you prayed, you felt like He was right next to you. But when you got down to pray this morning, you felt all alone. Am I the only one? No. I think many times we just take for granted those things. We become familiar. It's like teaching a Sunday school class, and you go into the Sunday school class one Sunday, and you can just feel the power of the Lord on you, and you teach, and you see kids get it, right, teachers? You see adults get it. You can see the lights come on, adult teachers. I mean, you can see when it happens. And then one time you get up and teach, and it happens to me a lot, you get up and preach, and man, no lights come on. I told a couple of the men this morning, I absolutely saw 3 or 4 people in the room I felt like were lost this morning. And you could tell they were thinking about it. They were the lost or under conviction about something else. But you could tell they weren't comfortable. Now, I can always tell when somebody walks in the building and they sit down and we begin the music, they just don't want to be there. They thought we were a contemporary church and we're looking for the contemporary music. And from the very start, they don't want to be here. I can spot them every time without fail. And believe me, they don't fill out visitor's cards. But you can feel, and again, not all things are based upon feeling. As I said to Brother Lasseter just a few minutes ago, the Word of God does not return void. You can get up and preach and teach and think the lights didn't come on and get a phone call or an email 3 or 4 days later, Lord, preacher, that really was a blessing. But a lot of times we get up one Sunday or from another Sunday or from 1 week or from one day to the next day and we just feel like we're alone. We feel like there's a brass ceiling above the house or a brass ceiling above our prayer room. And we say, Lord, what happened? Why? Why does this happen? What took place just yesterday? Everything was fine. And then we have to go to Him and seek and find and ask the Holy Spirit to look inside and see what we have done to cause the fellowship to be broken between us and God. Many times we go to Him like a fire truck and try to put out the fire. We use Him as a 911 call and we find that He's not there. Hang on, because we have broken fellowship. Not because He has. We just take Him for granted. We take it for granted. We take for granted many times that broken heart or that emotional, even that emotional response we have many times when we feel very close to the Lord. Well, let us never take that for granted. Never let us take for granted those special times we have with the Lord. Never take for granted those children as we teach them. Yeah, we see them every Sunday morning in Sunday school class. But don't ever take them for granted. They may not be there the next Sunday. Don't ever take for granted the familiarity you may have with a certain story. I thought about the sermon I preached this morning and the Lord laid that upon my heart. But that's a message that could be preached every Sunday morning from this pulpit. And it's a familiar message. And sometimes I can just see some of the Christians out, and not you guys. You guys were good this morning. But I could see the switch being kicked out of gear, you know. We have to be very careful. It's kind of like being preaching on the cross. And it just doesn't have the same ring as it used to have when we first got saved. It's become familiar to us. Brother Jerry Moore had it right. Well, we've just become fat. We talk about there are many Christians today that are underfed. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think that is somewhat the case. But there's a lot of people who are just fat. We know all the stories. Our education has far outrun our application. Let me say that again. I love that. Our education, what we know about the Scripture, has went far ahead of what we apply. And many times, that's a whole nother message. We have to be very careful. Secondly, I know there was some kind of point there. Secondly is prayerlessness. Can I just tell you the source of power is prayer. As I've said many times in this pulpit, that there's two areas that we as a church have to reassess and regroup and refocus every year is our prayer time and our soul winning time. And can I tell you that every day you should reassess your prayer time with the Lord. Power comes through prayer. It comes from God. The way to get the power back in your life, the way to get the power back in our church is through prayer. This man's father brought him to Jesus. And can I tell you that Jesus is the answer? Not man. Man will fail you. Jesus will never fail you. This man had a dumb spirit. This man's spirit would strike him down. It tore him. He foamed his mouth. He gnashed his teeth. He was pining away. Matthew speaks of him having a devil, a lunatic, sore vexed, fallen to the fire, fallen to the water. Luke speaks of him as having a spirit, taking him, crying out with tears and foaming at the mouth and bruising him. I mean, this man was bad off. But Jesus came and changed the situation. Can I tell you the answer or the solution to the problem of the world is Jesus Christ. And Jesus' work. Jesus said He came to seek and to save those who's lost. Jesus had compassion. The man asked Him, Lord, would you have compassion? And Jesus did have compassion. Let us never take for granted that Jesus has the power to do anything. I had the opportunity to go visit someone this week in prison. And as I was giving this young man advice, sitting down with him, my advice to him was three or four different things, but the final solution is Jesus Christ. If he wants to turn his life around, the solution is Jesus Christ. I don't have the solution for him. The solution is Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As we think about our relationship with Jesus, let us never take for granted that we won't be the next person in the county jail. Hello? I have people say that every once in a while. That'll never happen to me. I would never do that. That's not true. Be careful lest you fall. We have to be so very careful from day to day of living our life and walking and in step with Jesus Christ, not taking for granted what we have. And listen, there are countless illustrations I could use, as I did at the very first. Whether it's a pawpaw, whether it's a dad, whether it's a mom, whether it's your children, let us never take them for granted. Amen. I miss my pawpaw. I miss him a lot. There are many others of you who could stand and say, I miss my dad. I miss being able to talk with him. I miss those things. And there's times I look back and say, you know what, I took that for granted. In fact, there's times I look back and said, I wish I had recorded a few things. I wish I'd had an iPhone like I have now. I can just punch the button and record them. You know, my pawpaw years ago, because I spent the most time with him probably the last 5-10 years of his life, and he took me down around the pasture and said, hey, here's where the survey stake is, and this is where the survey stake is. I mean, he knew where everything was at. He said, tell your dad, this is where the survey stake is. I mean, just talking to me and talking to me about things. I'll never forget my pawpaw in the last few years of his life. He said to me, he said, I'm so thankful to God that I had the opportunity to be a pawpaw to my great-grandkids. He said, I got to be a grandparent all over again. He was just so thankful about that. What a blessing. But a lot of times we take our loved ones for granted. Take our wives for granted. Take our husbands for granted. In our family, growing up, and has been ever since, and I know some may disagree with this, but when I get off the phone with my dad, I tell him I love him before I hang up. I don't want my dad ever know or ever feel or ever think for a second his son doesn't love him. And he tells me, I love you. I want to take those relationships for granted, knowing that tomorrow that relationship may not be there. But can I tell you that we take the relationship we have with God for granted? We take things that are spiritual. We take those things that are spiritual, we take them for granted because we are so familiar with them. Most of us, not all of us here tonight, but many times we're just so familiar with them. If we were to have the Lord's Supper tonight, we'll be having that in December. I can tell you as a kid, taking the Lord's Supper growing up, that the Lord's Supper to me, in many cases, has become very familiar. If we're not careful, those spiritual things, those things that are very important, become so familiar with us that they no longer carry any kind of special, you know, specialness in our lives. Don't let us become too familiar. Why was the disciples powerless? Well, it describes the lack of faith and the lack of prayer and fasting. But can I tell you, they took their power for granted that they had been given by the Lord. And can I tell you, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll take for granted what God has given to us. Can I tell you that most of you here tonight have something special? All of us have something special, but most of us here tonight have something special. Most of you here tonight A lot of us have our kids with us. That's special. A lot of us have our kids. Maybe your kids are grown and they're serving the Lord and out on their own, and that's special. Well, let us never take those things for granted. Teachers, don't take your kids for granted. Master Club workers, don't take your kids for granted. Man, it should be special to go in there and teach them every Sunday. I think sometimes we don't study enough. We don't do enough. We become too familiar with everything. Well, let us be careful about that. Let's approach every Sunday as being a fresh Sunday, a new opportunity to give this child or that child the gospel. I always like to say to teachers or a youth pastor, the one you had the most trouble with, that's the one you should be taking out for a take out and get him a Coke. Spend some time with him. I was trying to say that so there's some people that are just special. Some kids that are just special. Boy, let's don't become too familiar with the things of God that we take them for granted. Let's don't get too familiar with the relationships we have in our life and take them for granted. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn.